Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey, what's good, everybody? It's Nelly here again. And hey, I just wanted to welcome you all wherever you're watching this from, whether you're here in Southeast Queensland from the Sunshine Coast to the Gold Coast, right here in Brisbane, Logan. Shout out to all of you. Shout out to Ipswich. Shout out to Moreton Bay in the north, Redland Bay. Wherever you're watching this from here in Southeast Queensland, we're so glad you could join us here today. I'm so excited to unpack the Word of God for you all and to serve you all in this capacity. But if you're watching from here and you're not a part from Every Nation Brisbane, we want to welcome you too. So glad you could be with us today and come and worship God together. So you're ready for the Word of God? Why don't we go there? We're in our series called By the Book. And before we get into the Word of God today, I just wanted to highlight and give some context to you. We're in Matthew chapter 7. And before I read it, I must tell you that this is the part of Matthew, which is one of the Gospels. Obviously, these Gospels, these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, highlight the life of Jesus. And what we're reading now is the tail end of the message or of the sermon, kind of like a transcript of the sermon that Jesus preached in Galilee, near the Sea of Galilee, which is a massive, massive lake. And so he's on a hill overlooking Galilee, preaching to this massive crowd that is gathered around him. And this sermon is probably his most famous sermon. Arguably, I would say inarguably, it's his most famous sermon that he preaches. And this is the tail end that we're going to read in just a moment. And let me just let you into a preacher's life that usually we want to make our main point known at the tail end of our messages. So with Jesus obviously being the preacher of all preachers, the king of all kings, you know, I learned just by watching his examples, and shout out to all of my Leadership 215 crew, that it's important to end well. And look at the way that Jesus ends his message. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Remembering the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 to 7. We're going to read the tail end of his message. So if you're there, we're going to have also the words, the text up on the screen as I read this. We're reading from the English Standard Version. It says here, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you." That's key. Remember that. "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, does them, will be like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, in this series, By the Book, where we're looking at truth in a tumultuous world, we understand that there's many storms that we may face, both personally, as families, as society, and across the world. Right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic, a global pandemic, where we are affected by COVID-19. Definitely a worldwide storm. It's a storm medically, economically, socially, racially. There's been a slew of different opinions with regards to politics and various things, which we obviously don't want to get into here. What we want to do is center our lives on the Word of God and who He is, Jesus Christ. Obviously, we've just read from the scripture that a wise man builds his house upon the rock, and the rock is Jesus Christ. Spoiler alert, we've just come to the end there. But I just wanted to, in view of the series that we've just gone through, and I want to encourage you to listen and listen to all of the series. You can download our podcast where we've looked at the importance of the Word of God. We've looked at answering the questions of whether we can trust the Bible. Can we trust the Bible, right? How do we read the Bible? How do you learn to read the Bible? What version do you use? How do you interpret scripture? We learned about the meaning of hermeneutics and how to study the scriptures within their context, historically, geographically, within the languages of Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. All of these things factor into the way that we should read the Bible. Also looking at the verses within their context of the genre of the writing, right? We shouldn't even open the Bible unless we address who the author is. And we've got to look at what the author, the Holy Spirit, says about certain issues. What is he saying about those issues that are in Scripture? Because it's through that that we actually hear the heart of God. So what we're going to talk about today is how to live the Bible. How do we live the Bible? Well, firstly, we must understand, as we've been saying this whole series, that the Bible is all about God. The Bible is all about God. It's God's story. It's not our story necessarily. It's just, if anything, it shows us and another point towards, you know, just us understanding why. Why it must be true that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture is because we would have looked a lot better had man been the sole author of Scripture, right? Humankind, I should say. But like we see this cycle where humankind is worshiping God and humanity begins to walk away from God because they become a lot more engulfed in other things. Last week we talked about the four different types of ground where either, you know, the rocky ground where there is a shallowness towards the soil. It grows for a little while but gets baked under the sun of trial and tribulation. And maybe your faith hasn't been that strong in the past. Hey, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt towards that. In fact, God wants to invite you to deepen your faith during this time, because maybe the tribulation of things that have happened over the last few months, whether it's the passing away of loved ones, whether it's questioning God's goodness with regards to jobs and just different things that have happened, our mental health has been affected. You know, God wants to begin to highlight to us that His word is still true. He is still true to who He is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there is this pattern that we can fall into, that we forget about God, or the thorns start to choke out the word of God. The thorns, last week from Mark 4, right, represent the cares of this world or the pursuit of riches and other things. They strangle out the word of God. So we fall into this pattern of forgetting about God and we worship other things, or we walk away from God in our bitterness, only to find that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can fulfill us the way that God's presence and His word does. So we cry out to God in desperation and He would send somebody to save us. And He has in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has in us the body of Christ. He sends the church to be His bride, His representation on the earth, His hands, His feet, His mouthpiece, the ones who are called to love one another. To be a reflection, like a light that shines out, that beams out into this world of darkness. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, this is a time when God desires to fill your light, your lamp with oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you might burn. And this is the cycle that we move into, right? But what the Word of God does is it reminds us that we should stay in the presence of God, no matter how good or not so good things go. So this is the story of Scripture. And now, as we land this sermon that Jesus preached, as He lands the sermon, and we also want to just break down the remainder of these Scriptures. And it says in the Scriptures again, not everyone who says to me, what's the words there on your screen? Lord, Lord, right? We see the repetition here. Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who what? Does the will or obeys the word of my Father who is in heaven. Now that's key, okay? You can tell if somebody is under the lordship of God. What does lordship mean? It's somebody who has Jesus Christ as the one who calls the shots in their lives. Well, Pastor Neil, you know, I know God is God, but I don't really believe that He knows what's best for my life. Let me tell you know, like, that's the choice. Do you trust yourself more than you trust God? And you find His way restrictive rather than finding absolute freedom in His way, because it is the right way, because He's the one that designed us. He designed us with purpose. And so this is why we must see our obedience play out as a sign of our Lord, His Lordship in our lives, that we have Jesus Christ on the throne of our hearts. Do people around you know that he's Lord? Not everyone who calls Jesus Lord, Lord, just by name, not by actions, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Check this out. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Now, again, that repetition is important. We'll talk about that in just a moment as to why it's important. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? Now, these things are done in his name, but they're not necessarily done with his glory or with him at the center of our lives. Sometimes they're just to justify our position as prophets or as worship leaders or as just Christians who know how to teach the Bible or know how to talk to people because we're spiritual and all that. But God would say, be gone, like get away from me, right? And he says right there in verse 23, and I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Whew. Let's go back to the reason why he says, Lord, Lord. Now, many of you may have heard me use the example before, and I've used this example countless number of times, but I think it bears repeating. Okay, the closest malls to my house, like one of the reasons why I like living where I live is that we live in between Westfield Carradale and Westfield Garden City. Now, no matter where I am, I know that if I am to, you know, to hear my wife from miles away, from from far away, from a distance, if I was to hear her voice, she would only have to call me once and I would come because I know her voice. She wouldn't have to say my name twice. But notice those that don't know him. Remember, go back to verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. The Greek word ginosko, which means to know him intimately, to know him well in relationship, to know him in depth. There's an aspect of ginosko, the Greek word that actually implies like a deepened level of intimacy, like the level of intimacy a wife and a husband would have. That's the level of closeness that we must have with our Savior. Be gone from me, I never knew you. That's how deep God wants to know you. Like the great North Brisbane theologians, the Bee Gees, once sang, how deep is your love? Right? God wants to know you deeply, deeply, deeply. But if, you know, if we just posture and we just act as if we've got it all together just by, you know, putting certain Christian remarks on our Facebook pages, but there's no level of intimacy with him. We don't really know him in depth in our lifestyle of worship. It becomes reflected, right? Doing, but not knowing who he is. That's really key. Okay, I hope you caught that. See, she only needs to say my name once. Tina only needs to say my name once, and I'll be there. I was going to sing the song, but I won't. All right, let's continue to move on. Because I preached that many times before. I mean, you can go back on the podcast and listen to my messages on that particular part of the passage. But this part of the passage is where Jesus ties it all up. And he compares the two types of houses that are built on different types of foundations. Right? In verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So I hear, I obey. Say that with me. I hear and I obey. Right? It doesn't go through one ear and out the other. It goes through one ear and then my hands, my feet, my mind, they obey. They walk it out. I walk it out. I walk it out and everything that within me like begins to praise God. It's more than just singing, right? We can sing songs about obedience, but if we don't obey him the way that he's called us to obey him in every aspect of our lives, whether it's relationally, like God says certain things about our relationships, we're like, I'm not sure I want to do that because I have these deep desires in my heart to fulfill my relationship my own way. Then you're not under the lordship of Jesus and God wants to invite you. You're not building your house upon the rock. And then you wonder why when certain things happen, your house gets shaken. Because, and juxtaposed to that, when the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on that house, if you're built on a rock, you don't fall. But what does it say about those who hear what he says and don't do what he does say to us? They build their house on the sand, right? The rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on that house and fell in great was the fall of it. Great is the fall of it. There's a lot to be said about that. Like, if we just think for a moment, like, the importance of hearing His word. Sure, you know, in our moments of prayer, as we're praying to God, especially, you know, if we're spiritually aware, that's a good thing. But any spiritual awareness should line up with a knowledge of Scripture, because there's far too many people that are spiritual and would pretend like they hear God, but it doesn't line up with His word. It does not line up with His word, and it doesn't play out in the way that they live. And so, like I've said before, we begin to succumb to the disease called God told me-itis. Well, God told me that I'm supposed to go there and do this, or He told me you're supposed to go there and do this. And then you can't find any biblical precedents for God's character or God's command or why He would say that. Or you take those scriptures out of context to fit somewhat of what you would spiritually connotate towards Him, His voice. Look, if we didn't know Him, see, this is the importance. If we don't know Him, then we can't speak on His behalf. You've got to know Him, gnosko, because there's so many people who prophesy, speak in all kinds of tongues, and there's nothing. Look, listen, at our church, if you pray in tongues, that's a beautiful gift that God has given us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to edify yourself. That's a beautiful thing. But like, you can have all of those spiritual aspects, but if you don't have a deep relationship with God and trials and tribulations come your way, you're going to get rocked every time, because you're building your house on the sand and you'll never know Him unless you know His word, you hear it and obey. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, and hearing the word of God. Hearing and hearing the word of God. Hearing is present tense, not having heard in Sunday school or having heard in kids' church. And now I'm 40, I'm still leaning on those verses that I used to lean on back then. God wants to deepen your understanding of who He is. He invites us into this gnosko knowledge of who He is. He invites you to a deeper relationship. But how will you obey when you don't know what He says? Let me say that again. How will you obey when you don't know what He says? Learn His word. Then again, there's some people, okay, some people that may be over-spiritual. On the other side, there's so many people that are buried in this word, which is a good thing, but they're so buried in it that they don't live it out. It's to be lived out. They're not building anything. Remember, the whole point is that we build our house. We build our lives upon His word, that no matter what we face, if we're built upon the knowledge of who He is, we will never get rocked. You've heard me say countless number of times, right, that he never promised us a storm-free life. This is not Disneyland without the queues and the ticket prices. Christianity is not that. Christianity is a storm-proof life, not a storm-free life. He doesn't say no weapon will be formed against you. He says no weapon will be that is formed against you will prosper. Like, there will be weapons formed against you. We were reading Psalm 23 the other day with my daughter, and she has to break it down for an oral presentation that she does at her school. She attends a Christian school. And, you know, there's all this goodness and mercy and this blessing. My cup runs over and prepares a meal before my enemies. He lays me down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. But then there's this verse 4 where it says, though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord my God is with me. And my daughter was like, what? You know, why is God like, he walks me through all this blessing and all this beautiful grass as a sheep that I can enjoy. But why does he have to walk me through the valley of the shadow of death? I said to her, you know what's good about shadows is that there's no shadow unless there's light behind it. And God's presence is light, and His word is light, and His light guides us through life, guides us through pandemics, guides us through moments of uncertainty, guides us through conflicts in our marriages, guides us through relational tension, financial uncertainty, opinions on whether I should get the vaccine or don't get the vaccine and all of this sort of stuff. Look, if your life's not centered on the word of God, then you will get rocked. You're gonna get rocked. And that's why he says don't submit to every wave of doctrine. It's important that we found ourselves on the word of God and who he is. So we must know the word, hear it and obey it. Don't just hear it and intellectualize it. And don't just hear it without reading it. Don't just hear it in terms of just over-spiritualizing. Because as you know his word, you know he is the word, right? How will we obey when we don't know him? So the questions I want to ask as I close today, okay? As I'm closing this message, it's just two questions. I want to ask this question of everybody who's watching this that is not yet a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're recognizing today, hey, Nelly, I recognize today I'm not following God. And so therefore, I recognize that I put my life on other foundations. And that's the question I really want to ask you is, what is the foundation that your life is built upon? And would you like to see an upheaval of that house and see it built upon the rock and just trusting Jesus, trusting that we would build our lives upon his foundation? So I don't build my life on my career, my finances, my relationships. Those things are blessings, but I build those things on Jesus Christ as the center. He is my firm foundation. For those of you who are followers of Jesus, the question I really want to ask you is, are you building? What are you building? Because God wants us to build. You know, being a part of Every Nation Brisbane is an aspect of how God is building. And we, you know, are really blessed that you are a part of this spiritual community, this spiritual family that we have as we're part of the wider body of Christ here in Brisbane and here in Australia and across the world. But I want to ask you, what are you building? How are you building your house within your marriage? For those of you who are married, for those of you who are single, you know, within your singlehood, how are you building the kingdom of God? Remember, the kingdom of God consists of houses. How are you building your house upon the rock? How are you building your family? For those of you who have children, how are you helping to build your children's lives upon the rock, settling them in heavenly, how having to see a heavenly perspective on everything? That's what God invites us into today, that we don't just build our house on any old ground. And there's a lot of people that will wear a cross or stick a fish sticker on the fact that they actually just don't want to be under the lordship of Jesus. But they'll just stick like Christian paraphernalia on their own selfish business plan or their own selfish pursuit and motives. That's religion. And God invites us in this moment to look at what we're building and ask us, are we building something? I actually prophesy and believe that many of you who are watching this, God's actually initiating for you to start moving out in the visions that he's called you to move out in, to see lives transformed. I believe there's non-profit organizations or missions organizations that he wants you to link up or start, but there's a birthing of that new desire to see lives changed and transformed. That's the reason why you're on the planet, is to help see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, but Pastor Nelly, I thought that, you know, we're saved by grace, so I don't need to do anything. Look, God is not opposed to effort. He's opposed to earning our salvation. But because of his salvation, we work then, and the work is joyful now because it has purpose. And now I get to build his kingdom. That's what excites me. I get to make disciples. I get to see a missional lifestyle. I get to give of myself. I get to give my finances. It's a privilege and an honor to sow my life and build my life upon his foundation, because all other ground is sinking sand. What are you building? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, what are you building today? So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for both groups of people. And again, like I said right at the top, join us on Zoom, okay? Join us on Zoom right after this message. But before I pray, I wanted to show you this quick video that kind of summarizes the imagery around what I've just talked about. Check this out. Well, I hope that video was a helpful visual for you to be able to see what you're building on today. Let us know in the chat how we can pray for you, or you can private message us. More importantly, we'd love for you to join us on Zoom right after I pray for you today. Let's pray. God, I think through your word today, we're able to see kind of what we're building our lives upon, what we're building our houses upon, the house of our lives upon. And so God, we want to ask God that you would help to unearth any foundation that we're built upon, that is built upon sinking sand. We want to build our lives upon you, knowing you deeply, Lord God. We don't want to do things for religious recognition, God. We want to We want to do out of our knowing. We want to move because of what you've already done, what you've completed in us. And so, God, it's our honor to make our lives count, to have our lives extended so that we would see more people come to know who you are, your beautiful love, your beautiful purposes in our lives, and the beautiful foundation that you lay in your word for us so that we will not be shaken. We thank you, Lord, that we get the opportunity to build our lives upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.